Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shri Brahma Uvacha.
Shri Brahma Uvacha.
Avikiryam.
Avikiryam.
Avikriyam.
Avikriyam.
Satyam.
Satyam.
Anantam.
Anantam.
Adyam.
Adyam.
Guha.
Guha.
Shayam.
Shayam.
Nishkaram.
Nishkaram.
Apratarkyam.
Apratarkyam.
Mano.
Mano.
Grahyanam.
Grahyanam.
Vachasan Yeruktam
Nanmamahe
Deva Varam Varenyam Shri Brahmovacha Avikriyam Satyam Anantam Adyam
Avikriyam Satyam Anantam Adyam
Guhashayam Nishkalam Apratakyam
Guhashayam Nishkalam Apratakyam
Manograhyanam Vachasani Ruktam
Manograhyanam Vachasani Ruktam
Namamahe Devavaram Varenyam
Namamahe Devavaram Varenyam
Shri Brahma Uvacha
Shri Brahma Uvacha
Lord Brahma said
Avikriyam
unto the personality of Godhead who never changes as opposed to a material existence. Satyam, the eternal supreme truth. Anantam, unlimited. Adyam, the original cause of all causes. Guhashayam,
present in everyone's heart.
Nishkalam,
Nishkalam,
without any decrease in potency.
Apratarkyam,
inconceivable, not within the jurisdiction of material arguments. Mana agrayanam,
more quick than the mind,
inconceivable to mental speculation.
Vachasa,
by jugglery of words.
Aniruktam,
indescribable.
Namamahe,
all of us demigods, offer our respectful obeisances.
Devavaram,
under the Supreme Lord, who is not equaled or surpassed by anyone.
Varenyam,
the Supreme Worshipable, who is worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord, O changeless, unlimited Supreme Truth, you are the origin of everything. Being all-pervading, you are in everyone's heart and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot catch you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not anything of material creation. Everything material must change from one form to another. For example, from earth to earthen pot, and from earthen pot to earth again. All our creations are temporary, impermanent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is eternal, and similarly the living entities, who are parts of him, are also eternal. Mama evamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sanatana, eternal, and the individual living entities are also eternal. The difference is that Krishna, or God, is the supreme eternal, whereas the individual souls are minute, fragmental eternals. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetre shubharata. Although the Lord is a living being and the individual souls are living beings, the Supreme Lord, unlike the individual souls, is Vibhu, all-pervading, and Ananta, unlimited. The Lord is the cause of everything. The living entities are innumerable, but the Lord is one. No one is greater than Him, and no one is equal to Him. Thus the Lord is the supreme worshipable object, as understood from the Vedic mantras. Natatshamas cha yadikas cha drishyate. The Lord is supreme because no one can evaluate Him by mental speculation or jugglery of words. The Lord can travel more quickly than the mind. In the Shruti mantras of Ishupanishad, it is said, Ane jare kam manaso javiyo nainat deva apnuvan purvamarshata tadhavato nyan atye titish tattasmin apomatarishvadadhati. Although fixed in His abode, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach Him. Although in one place, He controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in existence. Ishopanishad 4. Thus the Supreme is never to be equaled by the subordinate living entities. Because the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and the individual living entity is not, never should the individual living entity be equated with the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 15.15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham vidi samnivishta. I am situated in everyone's heart. This does not mean, however, that everyone is equal to the Lord. In the Shruti mantras it is said, Hridi hyayam atma pratishtha. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Satyam param dhimahi. The Vedic mantras say, Satyam jnanam anantam and nishkalam kriya. And nishkalam kriyam. Shantam niravadyam. God is supreme. Although naturally He does not do anything, He is doing everything. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastidaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyache sacharacharam hetunane nakonteya jagad viparivartate. This material nature working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Thus, although the Lord is silent in His abode, He is doing everything through His different energies. Parashishaktir vividhaya shuruyate. All the Vedic mantras, or Shruti mantras, are included in this verse, spoken by Lord Brahma. For Brahma and His followers, the Brahma Sampradaya, understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Sampradaya system. No, understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Parampara system. We have to gain understanding through the words of our predecessors. There are 12 Mahajanas, or authorities, of whom Brahma is one. Swayambhu Naradas Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Mano Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasakir Vayam Bhagavatam 6.3.20. We belong to the disciplic succession of Brahma, and therefore we are known as the Brahma Sampradaya. As the demigods follow Lord Brahma to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also have to follow the authorities of the Parampara system to understand the Lord. So the demigods here, then Brahma has come and now has started his appeal to the Lord. They're not able to see the Lord, so they go to the milk ocean, and then at the milk ocean they are able to get through the medium of Lord Brahma's heart, then the Lord appears and gives them instruction. So we see that this would be happening because that means they are dear, they're devotees. But they are not as dear as someone like Prahlad. Prahlad, then, we see that the Lord personally came and personally killed the demons. But here, then, the Lord is, he comes in their heart like that and then says something. Then so they get some indication. Because actually they don't want to get too close. Because if you get too close, then one is obliged to reciprocate. Like we see it is even in just material life. Some very great personality comes. Generally everybody else becomes very, very quiet and shy and all these kind of things. So their own prowess in that is not, cannot be enjoyed. Because the other person outshines so much. So therefore then we see that there's generally when most people get around very big persons, they become very quiet, very like this. So their own qualities are not manifest. Unless, of course, it's someone who thinks they're going to get some benefit from this, and then, of course, they're very happy. Like you see, you have big, big personality, like you have the president or the prime minister, and if some very big businessman could get his picture taken with him, then he's very bright and everything. Sometimes even more bright than the president, because the president is just another picture with another guy. But for the businessman, it's the picture with the president. And from this, you know, he'll get something. Well, you'll see everybody else when they're with these people, they're much more, they are much more subdued, much more quiet. So we see this even amongst themselves, amongst the demigods. When the various demigods, when they come close to each other, like when other demigods come close to the sun, then they become, their power is reduced, their influence is reduced. So then he becomes the prominent personality. Or if they're in the presence of someone who they like or don't like, they like them, they're friends, then they become inspired. They don't like them, or there's some difficulty, some social problem, then they are less like this. So we see that this is going on. This is how the whole science of astronomy and astrology works. It's simply who likes who and who gets along with who. And what are their abilities or influences, you know, in the various positions within the universe. So we see that the demigods, then they don't, when they get around the Supreme Lord, then sometimes if they're not in the right mood, then they have, they don't feel so good. It means now they've lost everything, so now they want all these material things back. If they were serious devotees, they would lose everything and think, by the Lord's mercy, I've lost all these things. So now I should become, you know, very detached from these things, because they don't give pleasure anyway. And so then, by this, they would, you know, can make some spiritual advancement. But basically, it's, they like the position, the facilities and all that. They perform the pious activities to get them. And so when they lose them to the demons, then because they're demigods and are supposed to have them, then they want them. So there is that aspect to it. So because of this, then the Lord is there. He is reciprocating. He's interacting. But it's not as close as if they only want to please the Lord. It's not as close as that. So we see. So that is. So therefore, they have to go. They can only go to the shore of the Milk Ocean, and then they are able to get their, you know, get audience with the Lord. So Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma here is pointing out these different qualities of the Lord: how he's eternal, he's unlimited, he's not understandable by mental speculation. So many different aspects are not. So many different aspects that the Lord has, unlimited qualities are being described. So this is the essential first point, is that we have to recognize that we are the Lord's servant. We are not the enjoyer. Right? The principle of being here in the material world is that we wanted to take Krishna's place and enjoy Krishna's energy. So the energy is not going to allow that, neither is Krishna. Krishna is taking care. Just like Krishna, just like in a family, the parents, they don't want anyone to exploit the children, so they take care, they protect them, so no one will disturb them. They won't let other people come and do whatever they like. Someone else may come in and say, oh, okay, I'll take care of these kids now, you know, thank you for doing such a nice job all these years and all that, and then they're going to take the kids away. It doesn't work like that. So when the living entity wants to enjoy the Lord's energy, then he fulfills that desire, but with the shadow of his devotees, so the external energy. So the first principle we need to understand is that we are not God, we're not the enjoyer. And Krishna is the enjoyer, and we are the servant. Therefore, we must point out how he's so much greater than anybody else. Right? It's like, if you don't learn by, you know, gentle, you know, discussion, then sometimes very loud or strong speaking has to be used. Then someone wakes up and, oh, okay, yes, yes, oh, I didn't understand the situation. You came in very nicely, said, hey, Prabhu, can you do this? And it's kind of like, you know, what's this? You know, who are you? I just happen to be the temple president, and you're in this temple, and I'm in charge here, so it's my duty to see. Oh, okay, excuse me, I didn't know, Prabhu, I didn't know. Like that. So sometimes if the natural humility is not there, then some stronger speaking must be there. So the living entity naturally thinks he's very great. It means whatever we're doing, whatever is our experience, generally we will find we think it's all-encompassing, total, absolute. You know, it covers the whole existence. Whatever we know of existence, it permeates everything. We're happy, then the whole world is wonderful. We're upset, the whole world is terrible. You know, we don't like this person. We can't understand why anybody else in the universe can like the person. We like the person, why everybody else doesn't like the person. You know, so we're very surprised to find out that everybody else is also an individual. So here, no one can say they are unlimited. Of course, Mayavadis may try to say, but they can't really claim they know everything, they see everything. So these qualities then in this form are so big and great. You can't be known by speculation. Oh, by my intelligence I'll figure out everything, you know, like this. So the Lord, he has qualities way beyond us. So then at least intellectually we're able to accept that I am not the greatest. So therefore, maybe there's room for discussion that someone else might be God. Okay, this person is more. You know, so at least the minimum is he's more God than I'm God. Okay, you know, we can start the conversation from there. So then, once that's established, that there's someone greater, then we find we're the servant. Right? And then we are supposed to serve this Lord. We're supposed to then deal with the Lord in that capacity as servant. Then, as servant of the Lord, then we need to know, okay, well, what do we do? How do things work? You know, if he's controlling everything, how is he controlling? How is he doing everything? So he's doing it through the modes of nature, right? Is he controlling it like us, right? I get out there and control everything, personally poke my nose into everything. Like that? No. He doesn't have to do it. He's so great. He gets someone else to do it. And not only that, he's such a good arranger that they do exactly what he wants them to do. Right? Someone else, they're a good manager, they have men dedicated, but sometimes they don't do exactly what you want. They don't understand, or they have their own ideas or motives. But here, no, Krishna, it's the material nature is perfectly following exactly what he wants. But he doesn't do it. Why he should get involved? So, like this, then we can understand how it works. Then we understand how does Krishna deal. Right? Krishna is just like when Krishna finishes his pastimes, then he just leaves. Right? He moves so fast, he just goes, even the demigods can't see him.
Now you do expect to see him nicely come up, go by, you know, everyone will wave to him or something. He is gone. They can't even see. And so Prabhupada mentions here that the Lord does this because there is nothing in the material world. Right? Useless, empty place. Nothing here of any interest. So the pastime's finished. The pastime was with his devotees. It was the interaction with his devotees. Okay, Jarasandha happens to be bothering his devotee. Okay, we'll get rid of Jarasandha. Duryodhana is bothering Yudhishthira. Okay, we get rid of him. But the actual pastime is with him and his devotee. And he simply removes the obstacles that are in the way of the devotee's relationship with him. So then the devotee understands that there is nothing in the material world except the Lord and his service and the devotees of the Lord. And that interaction, that is what one wants. That is the real taste, this interaction with the Lord and his devotees. So that means then one has to check, is there anything that is in the way of that? While we're performing this, we're trying to become attached to the Lord, we're trying to serve the Lord, is there anything that's an obstacle to that, is creating a difficulty that stops us from remembering the Lord, that makes us forget? Some distraction, something else. So then we look, and then we see, and then we remove those things. So to do that, then we have to understand how the material nature works. We have to understand that there's so many desires in the mind, so many emotions, lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness, and those are there. Not that, no, I don't have these things. I'm not envious, I'm not attached, if we're not, we wouldn't be here. Right? So we have those. The modes of nature, they work how they work. And when they do things, they work. It's not that anything that you do means what you're doing, maybe because you're doing it for Krishna, then it takes on the transcendental quality. And because you're doing it according to the Shastra, then it is in line with the mode of goodness. It's illuminating, it gives knowledge. But the modes of nature that actually do the work may be goodness, may be passion, or may be ignorance. Right? You sweep the floor, then cleaning is going on, right? So work is there, action is there, so mode of passion is working. You're cleaning the room, so it's being maintained, so that's goodness. But it's also destroying things, so mode of ignorance is working. So we have to be able to recognize the modes are there, and they're controlling things. And it's not that, everything I do is perfect. All goodness is no. There's passion, there's ignorance. All these different things are there. So we start to understand the workings of the material nature in relationship to ourself, then we can become like the Lord, detached. Material nature is just working, right? Krishna is just coming, it's just working, right? Whether it's for us or for Krishna, material nature is just doing its work. Krishna is not interested in it. We are not supposed to be interested in it. Krishna's only interest is with the devotees, so therefore, then we are only interested in interacting with devotees. So then it becomes, so this is the process. We understand the process very nicely. Then, where do we get that knowledge? How do we understand what I should do, what I shouldn't do, how to understand the material energy? So then that is then given to us by the acharyas. And here, specifically then, Lord Brahma, we're hearing from Brahma, it's coming down in Parampara. Very important, this principle. If this is played with in any way, one will not get perfection. It's a very important system, the Parampara. The principle being that we are approaching the Lord through the devotees. So that is the meaning of Raganuga. One approaches the devotees of the Lord, and they are serving the devotees, and they are serving the devotees, until you get back to who is the Guru. Right? Means we see. Mother Jashoda means everyone learns from her how to serve Krishna in the parental ras. Everyone learns from Radharani how to serve Krishna in the conjugal ras. Why was there, otherwise, so many gopis are coming, why the dance doesn't start immediately? Because they think they are guru. Right? Each of the Shakyas thought, I am the guru. I know how to serve Krishna. So therefore, there's no rasa dance. Because they aren't guru. Radharani is guru. So they can't serve. How they'll serve? You think you're the guru, you're going to directly? That means it's impersonal. So you have to remove this, because she's the person. We're all serving her. So then that must be corrected. So by separation from Krishna, and then seeing her ecstatic react, how much separation is so much more than them, then they can understand she's greater. Because there must always be some respect for the guru. Always there, like that. So they must respect that Radharani is the greatest. Then, once that's there, and the parampara is properly in line, then Krishna can be achieved. Then the devotees can have pastimes with Krishna. So from the beginning state all the way to the topmost state, this principle cannot be disturbed. So it starts from your mother and father, and it ends there with Krishna and his intimate devotees. That's the whole system. So you can't break any of that. You break one of them, you actually break all of them. So it's a very delicate system. It must be respected. We must work by authority. Our own idea, or many, a group of people's idea, will never work. It can't work. Because unless it's supported by the parampara, it will not get you prema. It will not get you out of the material world. And it won't even get you any good, pious result. Because piety comes from respect of authority, truthfulness, you know, celibacy, humility, all these qualities that we talk about. They make one human. And humans perform pious activities. So therefore, even that, being not respectful to authority, then this is considered improper. You deal badly with authority, speak improperly with guru, then it is equal to the sin of drinking wine, because it's an intoxication. You think you're great. It's an illusion, right? Intoxication creates illusion. So these things create all this. So this is the position. So we must be very, very careful that we understand the respect. So it should be we're respecting every living entity. But at least minimum we should respect those who are senior, those who are empowered with certain qualities of the Lord, like the different demigods or different positions in society or in the family, in the community. They have to be respected. But they must be seen in relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, that's not parampara either. Oh, we just respect our mother. Yes, good Hindus get up in the morning and touch their mother's feet, father's feet. And that's all. But that's also not parampara. That's the beginning. But what about the other end? Krishna. So unless it's seen in connection with Krishna, you know, then what's the use? No use. Right? No use. It has to be there. You don't do it, you're not human. But so it has to be done. But unless it's done properly, it's incomplete, doesn't get the result. Result being, you know, going back to Godhead. Like that. So how far we want to take the parampara, then that far we'll get. Right? The Karmakandi is very respectful to the acharya of the yajna, at least while he's the acharya of the yajna when the yajna is going on. And because of this, he gets to the heavenly planets. He respects the demigods, he makes the oblations. So he gets to the heavenly planets. Right? The jnani, then he sees Brahman. Yogi sees Paramatma. They get that far. But unless you see Krishna, you know, the Lord of the cosmic creation, in Vaikuntha, in Dwarka, Vrindavan, and all the devotees up to that point, and the process up to that, then we don't get there. So this is a very essential position of the parampara. And the most essential point is they tell us what we need to do to get to where we want to get to. Depending on where you want to get to, you use a different system. Like that. So accordingly, they will explain. So for us, if we want to get to Vrindavan, then certain things are essential, certain things aren't essential, because those are for getting somewhere else. Right? And if you're getting to a further place, it already includes the other places. Right? It already includes. So then, that is very important that we have to learn from the Parampara, is what we should do, what we should not do. Otherwise, then, if we make up our own things, follow other people, you know, then we'll have a problem. We are not actually going to understand who we are. We're not going to understand the process. We're not going to get the goal. And so then, there'll be a problem. Any questions or comments? So, question is it's natural that we're supposed to respect and deal nicely with authority, interact with authority. But if the authority is full of faults, then how are we supposed to be inspired to do these things? So, there's many aspects in this. It's a very essential point, this question. See, there's two aspects to the authority. One is the power of the authority that comes from Krishna. And the other is the individual sitting in the seat. Just like I think in this chapter it mentions, it gives the name of the Indra. Because they change. There's 14 of them in a day of Brahma. So one day, 14 of them change. And each one has his own name. He's a different jiva. But the position of Indra must be respected. That position, you disrespect it, you disrespect God. That's simple. Because that potency of authority is God's. It's no one else's. The jiva can't claim to have it. So, it's God's authority. It may be a small part of his authority, but that, the officially, it has to be respected. So the official aspect has to be done. That much is there. That's etiquette. That's just a human, you know, responsibility. Now, the second part is the individual who's in the seat. If they have not so good qualities, they do things. That's another thing. Then it's a question of whether you want to give your heart to it or not. Because the rules themselves on their own don't have really any meaning. Just following authority just because it's there then is not so wonderful. It's good, it's pious, must be done. But it'll just be a pious credit that it's one's following authority. And then if one recognizes it's God, that's his potency, then one gets spiritual benefit for that. But it's still very official. And there'll be no taste from it, no rasa. Therefore, then, that's another discussion. But just on whether it's done or not, it has to be done. Otherwise, the material world will not function. The universe won't function. The world won't function. A country won't function. A society won't function. A community, a family, nothing will function if this is not in place. And we see nowadays, because it is the popular position, that authority is not a good standard. Why do we have to follow? So nothing works. Nothing works nowadays. Right? Places where it works is because they follow. It's just the way it is. You know? You see anything that works, it's because people are following it to that degree. And where it's not working, it's not. So then it's very problem is we hear this as a philosophy, but applying this may become devastating. Because then we may ask why our families don't work, because we don't apply this. The wife doesn't respect the husband, the husband doesn't respect wife, parents don't respect the children, children don't respect the parents. Even if that's going on, the parents aren't respecting their authorities. So therefore, it's a mess. We talk society, social, this, that. But until you have a foundation, one cannot build any house. One cannot build a house in the air. So the foundation starts with just recognizing and respecting other living entities. It's just the beginning of any relationship. They have to be respected at least for who they are. Here's an individual, and they are agreeing to take part in this relationship. That must be respected. That one must be, and if one, it's a nice relationship, one must be grateful for that. We generally see things break down when that's not there. It's called becoming familiar. Becoming familiar means you always think, oh yes, husband's always there, or wife's always there, or kids are always there, everybody's always there. Right? I'm the only, you know, variable factor. No, they're every moment making a decision to take part in the process. And when they decide not to, then we have all these divorce, you know, kids run off, this, that, so many things. So it has to be respected. It means that's just the basis. Otherwise, nothing will function. Absolutely can't function. People say, no management in the society. Well, who respects the management? Who respects the principle of management? Right? There's two things that I said. There's the person. You may like or may not like the person. But if they're in the position, they're empowered with the power of God. And if that's not respected, then how can it work? That's the minimum. It'll go on. It'll go on very dry, but it'll function. Right? You know, just like you see, you know, to get into the top levels of the government, it functions. There may not be great rasa there, maybe control, but the interaction, they're just doing it because they have to do it. Like that. But it works. That's the thing. It's a machine. Material nature is a machine. And you just run it properly, it works. You don't run it properly, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter what we think, what we don't. I want to sit on top of the car. It's so hot inside. You know, I want to drive it from there. Why it doesn't go? This is a nonsense car. What's the use of these cars? It doesn't matter. That's the bottom line, which is the most painful. It does not matter what anyone's opinion is. Absolutely nothing. It has no value, no weight, nothing. Unless it is coming from authority, it has no meaning. And it's painful to accept that. Because we want to accept that I am very intelligent, very experienced, know so many things. It has absolutely no use unless it's supported by Shastra. Absolutely nothing. But nowadays, one's opinion, what everybody has to say, oh, this, that, this is very important. It's important amongst small-minded people. And unfortunately today, there's a lot of small-minded people, right? Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. They're big, right? If you have a whole village of blind people, one person has some eyesight and one eye, he's the king. Yes, so those who are a little bit more, they speak louder, they have a few more opinions, their opinions are more well thought out than yours, then yes, okay, this is authority. Today, come back tomorrow, you'll see totally different idea, totally different view on things, totally different everything. They're useless. So, it doesn't matter if you're a devotee or not a devotee. You use the material nature properly, you get good result. You don't use it, you don't get it. It's not, I'm a devotee, I can do anything I want. No, we're devotees, so we're supposed to do what God wants. But, your point is there, is we may not be inspired to do, but that's another thing. So mechanically it has to be done. Because it's duty. It's our duty, we have to do it. Otherwise it's not human life. Right? You know, it's not even animal life, because even animals follow some etiquette. Whoever's the biggest dog, then you know, everybody, you know, puts their tail between the legs when they come around. So even the animals are better than humans. That's why I said a non-properly behaved human is worse than an animal. Because at last, animals follow God's law. Dogs are always dogs, right? A dog today, a dog a million years ago, a dog, you know, in the future, they're always the same. They do exactly the same stuff. Very reliable, right? They're just humans keep changing, right? You can count what the dogs will do, you know, because they follow God's law. So now, in trying to interact with the person, then that's another thing. One can try by various ways, approaching the person, try to work out the problem. If that doesn't work or one feels unable to do that, one can approach others who maybe can do that. And if not, and if it can't be done, then it's just something we have to live with. Like that. It's just life. Nothing goes the way we really want it to go. You know? And most likely, if we check into it, it's happening to us because, you know, just we have a mentality that wakes that up. You know? Other people, it doesn't bother. See, other people are going on. The authority's a little harsh and rough. It doesn't bother them because they don't have anything in their heart that needs to be cleaned out. Yeah. It bothers us because we have that. We probably check, we have many situations where we're a little harsh. So Krishna's just trying to point out to us. He's coming to us in the form of that authority and pointing out these things like that. So then that's there. Because the point is we want to leave this place. We want to get out of here. We don't want to stay. So we're only, according to our nature, creating an environment in which we will feel comfortable to serve Krishna. But the point is the goal is to serve Krishna, not to create the environment. It's just that we have a nature, so naturally we're going to create an environment and facilities according to our nature. And so we'll do that according to Krishna's direction and to please Krishna. But since the results are Krishna's, Krishna can play with them how he wants. Maybe he wants the results, maybe he doesn't. Right? Like that. You know, it's a bit, if we're attached to that we're doing it, no, it's Krishna's doing it. You know, like that. Gopis would, you know, get all the butter and this and that, and then he'd go and steal it. Right? They've churned it, they've made it thinking of him, so he's accepting it. But they're thinking, no, we're going to take it, we're going to bring it to Mother Yashoda and said, feed this to your nice child and that whole thing. No, he's going to come and steal it. That's how he wants it. So he'll deal with it how he likes. Or he'll take it up and feed it to the monkeys. You know, it's his, so he can do with it. It's like, if it pleases him to feed the monkeys, no, I get this, so he'll eat it himself personally. Well, he would rather feed it to monkeys. That'll make him happier. But he'll do what he likes. Therefore, we're working in that, and if it doesn't work out, our material development, our material advancement, our material life doesn't work out, but who is it for anyway? The house was for us or for Krishna? You know, all our nice clothes and nice facilities are for us or for Krishna? Who do they belong to? So if he wants to take them away, that's it, they're his. He wants to give them more, they're his. If he wants us to keep them, right? The master of the mansion comes along and tells the servant, okay, take all this stuff and, you know, we're going to do something, keep it in your room for right now. Does that mean now it's his? No, it's just, okay, yeah, he's got tons of stuff in his room. And he has to take care of it. So someone may have more things, someone may have less. But it's up to Krishna. How he wants, it's his. If we think it's ours, then we can think like that, but because it's not ours, then we're going to run into more problem. Right? Today it looks good, but tomorrow when Krishna takes it away, or it just dissolves on its own because of the temporary nature of material energy, we're going to be frustrated. And then whose fault is it? Because it can never be our fault. Rule number one in the material world, it can never be our fault like that. You know, it just can't. If you want to be a materialist, then you have to stick to this principle very strictly. Right? Because if you give this up, then there's a chance you're going to be liberated. Right? You know, it's like Rupa Goswami saying, if you want to stay here, don't go to the river Jamuna and see Krishna playing his flute. Because if you do, that's it. You're finished with material life. You won't want it anymore. It's the same way as if you want to stay here, then you have to find blame on everybody else, never yourself. Okay, occasionally you might, okay, just because you're a logical person and you logically went through it, then you can see, okay, maybe I did. But you made the decision and you said you were at fault. No one else can say this. Right? I may be, you know, very modern and that, oh yes, you know, it's all my fault and this and that. But the other person, what should they say? Oh, no, it's okay. What if they go, yeah, it was your fault? Oh, that will not work. Watch. You try it. You tell them. Yes, it was my fault. It was nonsense. I did that. I shouldn't have. You know, I was insensitive. And what if they say, yeah, it was insensitive. You know, it hurt me very much. And then we're going to go, we didn't get the rasa we wanted. Right? Then it's reality strikes, you know, that strange, you know, how do you say, stealthful personality just now and again comes and, you know, disturbs us. Right? So it's then, but if they say, oh, no, it's okay, this, that, then we feel, you know, good. Yes, we've done the right thing. We understood it was our fault. We took the responsibility. We even said it to others, you know, showing that we're, you know, meaning it like that. But they have to respond properly. Right? Which they should, of course. Even if they think, yeah, it is your fault, then they should, no, it's okay. Because confession and these is a way of purification. So the etiquette is. But if they didn't, then you'd see why. So that's why Krishna sometimes arranges that people deal with this not properly in etiquette. Because if they deal with this in etiquette, we'll just go on, you know, Indra goes on thinking, yes, I am the Lord of this universe. So now and again, then the demons come along and kick him out. You know, some big buffalo comes along and just pushes him off the asana and sits down. Then it goes, well, maybe I'm not the supreme controller. So then he has to go to Brahma. Brahma then comes to Vishnu, and then Vishnu comes and, you know, kicks him out. Because if it just went nicely, piously, wonderfully, everything, you know, prosperous and, you know, emotionally very pleasant, and all, we might forget God. Like all these people standing at the milk ocean. They've only remembered now. They weren't remembering when the demons walked in, they weren't remembering God then. They think, we'll kick them out. Then when they couldn't kick them out, then it's turned to God. But why did it turn to God? To kick them out? Not that, oh, okay, Krishna's taken everything away. Now I can, you know, give this up and go back to God then. No, it's all right. What's this nonsense? These guys are... So therefore Krishna arranges it, but it's a matter of, are we going to watch the material nature at work from a detached point, or are we going to be completely involved in it? That's the question. That's why you have the discussion of the things, and then you have all these technical points that sometimes, why it's like that, mind has all these elements and it works like this, and interactions and the modes and nature, all very technical, dry things. These are so that we see what's going on. How our mind's working, how the heart's working, how the intelligence is working. Then we understand, yes, it's just, there is a material, this is a fault. Then we're able to progress. So the principle of authority must be maintained. But I'm speaking now from our side. The discussion of who should be in authority, and that's another conversation. But just for ourselves, then we always have to follow, even if the other person, like Prahlad Maharaj, he always followed the etiquette towards his father. You never see him raise his voice, you never see him speak badly. He always behaves just as a perfect son, even though his father was a demon, was trying to kill him and everything. He never once broke the etiquette. Right? Now we can say Hiranyakashipu is not what you call the ideal father. Right? So then we can get into that discussion. What are the qualities of an authority? What should they be like that? But how we should deal ourselves, then that's there. And it applies to everyone, even someone who's an authority, because there's always someone above them. Right? Unless they're dealing directly with God, there's always someone above them. Like that. Does that make any sense? Or? Time is nine. 10:09. Okay. Good. know, he has a question. This last question. Mm-hmm.
Kshatriyas do represent authorities. Means that the Kshatriya has to stop honor. We have seen actually that the example of Pritha Maharaj is stop honor. At the same time, the duty of the Brahmana is to stop the tyranny of the Kshatriya. What happens if the Brahmana does not stop the tyranny of the Kshatriya because he thinks the common people will think that I am not respectful of the authority?
Generally, you don't have that as a problem. Because it's how it's done. See, getting something done, I mean, there's a modern idea is that the end justify the means. But that's not a human concept. Is the means must get you the goal. The means, but it means, it's like chanting Hare Krishna gets you the goal of chanting Hare Krishna. Right? By chanting properly, then you get Krishna, who is the holy name. Right? So they have something in common. They can't be completely different. You know, it's just like, okay, I want to, smash some potatoes for making mashed potatoes for a codicil. So because my goal is to get them smashed, therefore the means justifies the end. I mean, the end justifies the means. So I take them out, and there's a steamroller out in the street, and I put all the potatoes there, and after it goes by, I scrape them off, and I take them in. It's done, you know? Now, what's the problem? You got some problem with that? You know? So, but that's not human life. Right? That's not human life. You come up to a dog you don't know, they do that. Right? Because they're afraid. They're afraid you can do, you don't like it, maybe you can do something to them. So then they have to make themselves look like they're more, right? So they growl, they bark, they snarl, you know? So it's just the same thing. So the point is it has to be in line with what you want to get. You have to see what is the goal, what is the recommended process. Then you can then properly, in a way that prepare the potatoes for the offering. Otherwise, yeah, they got it done. You probably smashed them finer than you're going to do with your hands. You know? But that doesn't mean that it was good. So this is the point, is just because you're getting it done, right? Somebody is dealing improperly, so then you break all etiquette to stop them. That's not proper. You have to properly deal through the etiquette. If none of that works, then in the etiquette, after Sama, Dana, Beda, then you have Danda. But even there's rules on Danda, how it can be done. It can't be done just any way you like, just because your mind wants to do so many things. You know, take the temple president and put him in the spice grinder and all that. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean that that's what should be done. There's ways of dealing with everything. So then it has to be done. So all this means we have to become educated. That's the thing. We have to know what is the etiquette. We have to know what it is. And Prabhupada's always talking about it. And the example is there. Right? Example is there. Like Brahma's coming here and they're asking these things. He doesn't throw a tantrum. Right? Never throws a tantrum. Yes, so that's a culture. So you want something from somebody, you don't flip out, you don't freak out. It's not the way to do it. Right? Whole idea is if you create relationship, then naturally, if the person is in a senior position, he likes to take care. That's just the natural flow. Is that you like someone, and especially if they're junior position, they want something, you always want to fulfill it. But at the right time and place. Right? It's not that when they want it, they get it. They get it when they... So therefore, you have to give knowledge also. So that nourishment is there, the care is there, but knowledge must be there also. So they understand. Otherwise, when they grow up, they won't know what to do. Right? It's one of the sins of the parents, is if they don't properly purify and train the child, then they get a sinful reaction. A sinful reaction means that it manifests in the form of material things don't work. So we may say we're devotees, we're transcendental. Yes, we're transcendental. But it doesn't mean materially things aren't going to go badly. It doesn't mean that it'll necessarily, affect
you know, certain things, but it will. Because if that's there, then we won't be able to take care of those in a spiritual position. Right? So it has effect. But it doesn't have necessarily direct effect. It's indirect, based on the principle. But it's not that that wrong is going to directly affect your spiritual life, unless it's offensive. But then it's because it's offensive against God, not because it's against some rule. You know, it's a very technical thing. Okay. Yeah, so, like that. Etiquette must always be followed. Everyone is looking for a nice place where everyone deals nicely. So we have to start doing that ourselves. If we don't deal, you don't draw from someone else. Right? Right? You walk into the yard and the dog starts growling and snapping and, you know, salivating. And then we come over and go, oh, nice doggy, right? No, we just jump back or go around or, you know, pull out a can of mace. Something we do. So it draws out of us what is there. So if we deal rough, we're only going to pull roughness out of other people. Therefore, you see, people who are so heavy, everyone else deals with them very well. Right? Those who are gentle, everyone else deals gently. Those who are cultured, of course. Those who are rough then take, oh, it's weakness, and then they exploit. But still, it's drawing accordingly. Right? It's just because the person is impure, it draws in the negative instead of the positive. Okay? So we'll end here. Jai Gwantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainata Govurupe.